Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore, bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Friday morning's edition as we continue in week one, the ending of week one, in dealing with the subject, what faith is. And so, and the reason why faith, this lesson is so important to me about what faith is because faith is the proper response, the appropriate response to what receiving all that God by grace has made. And so there are different currencies whereby we can receive from, you know, the way we buy commodity in our country and other countries. But when it comes to the Word of God, there's only one currency whereby God is accepting the transfer, if I could use that term, meaning the exchange for what grace have made has to come by faith. Okay? And faith is what? A belief in something or someone. And in our case, as a believer, our faith is where? In God. And the reason our faith is in God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the living Word of God. And so he's given us his faith in getting us to do what? To look to the creation of the Father, that when we speak in the light of how our Heavenly Father created all things, then all that exists in the earth will obey us just as though it was the Father himself speaking. Now, that's a powerful statement, because you can look at us, that one third of us as a believer is like God. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's no sin in it. But then two-thirds of us is always at work. We're always under construction, you know, renewing the mind and bringing forth the body in a place whereas it is that it could be proven what is that good, perfect will of God for our lives. And so we're constantly renewing the mind. We're constantly changing our thoughts to line up with what? The truth of God's word. So when we talk about what faith is a belief in God that he can and will do. And let me just open up with this verse of scripture here. I know we've been using several verses of scripture, but I want to open up with this verse of scripture here about about Jairus' daughter who had died. And I'm going to use Luke's account started in Luke's account in 8:49 of Luke. And we know it's the same story about the woman with the issue of blood as well. But we're not going to talk about that at the moment. I want you to look at this. I just want to open up with this in this account about showing you what faith is. And in verse, let's see, Luke here 8, and go with me over here. I don't want to read the whole thing at this moment. Look at verse 49. Let's see, 48. Look at verse 49, Luke 8, 49. And it said, while he was yet speaking, meaning while he was yet, you know, ministering to the woman with the issue of blood and letting her know, daughter, your faith had made you whole. And we can talk about that, because what it is, it's going to show us what faith is. But I'm just drawn by this through the power of the Holy Spirit to, it just seemed like, through the Holy Ghost, more light will be given to you on this. More understanding will come to you in this fashion. He said, while he was yet speaking, a man from the house of the directors of the synagogue came and said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. And it said, do not weary and trouble the teacher any further. Now, I just got prompted by the Holy Spirit that I need to go back, because you need to see the beginning of this if you're going to know what faith is, because this man came to get Jesus. And so let's look at it and go back up here to verse, let's see here. Let's go back up here to verse Luke 8. Let me go back in my and I'm gonna read it to you from the beginning of where Jairus had come to get Jesus. I know it in Mark 5. I've always reading it in Mark 5, but because we're reading this in Luke 8, I want you to see this in this light here. And notice here in verse 26, let's go to verse 40, and notice this. So what we're doing, we're backing up about 9 verses. It says, now when Jesus came back to Galilee, the crowd received him, welcomed him, and gladly, for they were all waiting and looking for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who had for a long time been a director of the synagogue. And falling at the feet of Jesus, he begged him to come to his house. Now notice that this is a leader. This is a leader of the Pharisee. And leaders of the Pharisee most of the time don't come to Jesus because they themselves look at themselves as the hierarchy of the law. But now his daughter is sick, is nigh unto death. And now there's no time to play political games or play religious games. My daughter needs, I don't want my daughter to die. And notice that this man had to have heard of Jesus, of the things that he done. And so notice the first thing he said, and when Jesus came back from Galilee, and notice in verse 41, and there came a man by the name of Jairus, for a long time had been a director of the synagogue. He was a director of the synagogue, and fallen at the feet of Jesus, he begged him to come to his house. So what do we see here? Humility. When you have need of something from God, because our flesh sometimes has so much pride, it has so much arrogance in it, and we don't realize that it's inflated with so much of this fallen identity of the first Adam. We don't realize that when we come and we have need of something, we still come with a attitude of like something belonged to me. You know, I got good understanding, I got good education, but in this situation, can you help me out with this right here? If you could just help me out with this, I can move on. No, notice this man. This man was a leader. And we're talking about what faith is. One of a major step when you're trusting God and living by faith, you must come to a place and humble yourself. What do I mean by that? Because now the life that you live, you're living by the faith of the Son of God. And there is no pride there. There is no arrogance. There is nothing there of the flesh that's going to bring God glory to manifest on your behalf when you come to him. You are coming to God in a way because you know that it's impossible for me, for anything to happen in my life that's worthwhile. Not less know my daughter is at the point of death. So this man came to Jesus knowing that if his daughter is going to be healed, Jesus can do it. Or you follow what I'm saying? And this is another reason why we as the body of Christ, not just preachers, but we as a body of Christ as whole, we live a separate, you know, to be separate, separated. Sometimes we call it holy. Sometimes we call it being sanctified. And all of it is so. We live a holy, sanctified life apart from this world. Why? Because we are God's extension. We are the hands of God to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devil. We are the mouthpiece of God to speak life to a situation that's dead, to bring light to where darkness has overpowered it, overruled. You and I can't do that if we ourselves are living in sin, if we ourselves are living less than what we understand about the truth we have embraced. Why am I saying this? Because God can't, he has to have a body. And you and I are that body. And that's the reason why this body is declared as the temple of God. And we ought to present that body as a living sacrifice, meaning as an act of my own will, I choose to walk away from the world. As the Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. That's a confession that you have to make. That's a dedication that you and I all have to make all the time to do what? It's a reminder of ourselves. It's a reminder of telling your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotion, that we choose to walk with God today. You get up every day doing this. Sometime all during the course of the day, depending upon what is pulling on your heart, that's trying to lead you back down a road that you know that could be destructive. Well, you have to be the one to commit yourself. You have to be the one to open your mouth and say, no, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In him shall I fear. And when you understand what light is, that God is the fountain of life that give light in our places of darkness so you can see. So that's why we live a separated, sanctified lifestyle, not by what you wear, but how you present yourself, in whom you representing. I mean, you know, if you work for a company, there are things that, you know, you wearing a badge, or you may wear a logo, or you may use your own vocal call. I'm representing, you know, XYZ company or whatnot, and come to make the repairs or whatever that look like. Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. We represent the kingdom of God. And there is a way we carry ourselves. Excuse me. There's a way that we carry ourselves all the time as his representative. Because remember, it's not that God already know that all of us are imperfect. So there's no perfect being that God can work through. God, that's, Jesus was the only perfect being. But we can present ourselves blameless. What does that mean? Simply mean is this. It's that I won't quit. I won't give up. I will stick with the call. I will stick with the task to carry out that which God has placed within me. And when I need to repent, meaning change my mind about whatever attitude, whatever idea I have about something, then guess what? I'm going to do that. See, your repentance is not meant to be a punishment. Your repentance for you and I as a believer, that's part of our covenant clause that we have that no sacrifice have to be made over and over again for wrongdoing as it was under the old covenant. No. The purpose of our repentance is because God is the light of life. And when the word shines light on how I'm to behave in a matter, how I'm to stand on something that he has already made provision for, then that's what I repent about. I say, okay, God, I see what you're saying here, so I'm making this stand. And in the name of Jesus, from here on, this is the only stand that I'm going to take. This is the only truth that I'm going to embrace. These are the only thing I'm going to think on. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, Philippians 4 talks about, and I think in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are kind. You see, we are to do what? To think on these things. So it teaches us how to think, but you and I have to make a consecrated decision in how we think and in how we're going to live our life on this earth. Because remember, it's not that God will withhold his power from you. It's you and I won't have the confidence to believe that God could use someone like me in the condition that I'm in. See, your own conscience will condemn you. Your own conscience will bring you to a place of judgment. And even though God is greater than your conscience, but because we're not keeping our mind set up on him, then guess what? Then that's how, you know, we walk under condemnation. Because why? We've stopped thinking in the light of how God sees us. So when I talk about being blameless, meaning I'm going to stick with the task. I messed up. I made a mistake. But guess what? Now that I see the truth of God's word, I repent. And guess what? I applied the word that brought me this truth, the word that brought me this light, so that I can walk or maintain my right standing with God. Remember, not that I can do something to obtain this right, to maintain my right standing means for me to keep this confident, because it's his righteousness. But when I walk in the dark, or when I walk in something that's not of truth, then I'm not going to walk in that right standing that he made unto me. Why? Because, again, my own heart. And that's 1 John 3:19-21. Your own heart can bring you under condemnation. So when you feel yourself out of order, some things you automatically know to repent of. But then some behavior are so branded on the inside of us that we think it is right in our own eye, until you hear the truth of God's word that contradict your own belief. Now you have a choice you have to make and say, you know what? I've been holding on to this thing for so long, and this is not, I'm letting this go. Amen. So J.R., in all of his religious standard that he had and who he was, he humbled himself. Meaning he lowered himself to come before Jesus. And notice this, when he did that in verse 41, it says, he had been, and I'm reading from the Classic Amplified, he fell down to the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house, meaning to have mercy on his daughter. Amen? I mean, that's the will of God. You know, mercy is not giving us what we rightly deserve. See? So when he said, talk about have mercy, and that's what all of us, we need mercy. Well, mercy is given to you and I on a daily basis. According to Lamentations 3, 20 through 22, you have new mercies every day. You don't have the mercies from yesterday that you could escape. No, you got a new, you got fresh new mercies. Amen. Watch this. And notice here in verse 42. And he said, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. See, she was already dying. Now, Matthew's account of this same lesson says she was dead. But notice this. As Jesus went, the people pressed together around him, almost suffocating him. In other words, Jesus was not holding a healing meeting. Jesus was actually going with Jairus to his house because he said he humbled himself. He didn't come with an arrogant attitude. He didn't come as one that you should look unto me. No, he came as one with a heart of humility and saying, he bowed himself and said, Father, he said, would you come to my house? For my daughter is sick, nigh unto death. That's old King James Version. And Jesus just started coming. Jesus went with it. So it wasn't that he was holding a healing revival. And so here we go. I guess we just go through this as we go. And notice it. In verse 42, notice this. 43. And the woman who had suffered from a flow of blood 12 years and spent all her living upon physician and could not be healed of anyone. Now here's another condition here. Remember, we're talking about what faith is. It's a belief in our God. It's a belief that he can and that he will. Are you following me? And so when we release the faith of Christ, because we are born of God, and we have Jesus' faith inside of us, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But we have to learn to exercise this faith through a renewed mindset. It's not that when you speak the word of and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. And then at the same time, when you say it, notice this, you have to gain revelation. Faith coming by hearing. So if faith coming by hearing, that means this woman with the issue of blood has spent time hearing about Jesus healing, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. Are you following what I'm saying? And here her herself is ostracized because she's considered to be unclean. Now remember, Jairus, known as a religious leader, this woman coming to Jesus, she's unclean. And so we got two situations right here. Both are deadly. And notice this, the power and the authority to bring about healing lies in the hand of you and I. God. Ooh. God has put that authority in the hand of the believer. Not the hand of the preacher. The hand of the believer. Every believer can lay hands on the sick, according to Mark 16:17. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. Amen. I'm telling you, listen to this. I don't want to keep you too long. Watch this. It says, she spent all she had in verse 44, and she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood ceased. It wasn't like, you know, the fringe of touching his garment was like touching him. Because the garment itself was touching him. It's like the same as the Bible talked about how the Apostle Paul was anointed by the, and special miracles went out from him. And he had aprons that are cutting away aprons and stuff like that was on him, or that his hand, his body, somewhere his body touched or his hands touched. And what happened when a person, this is one way of getting healed or being cured of disease, when a person come in contact with that cloth or come in contact with that apron, as the Apostle Paul put it in Acts 19, what happens is that that person become delivered. That person becomes healed. Why? Because the power that be is transferred, but the person has to be in contact of it. That's why sometimes you can take, you know, when a pastor or teacher, whoever, is really under the anointing of God, preaching the word of God, and there's a special anointing flowing forth from them, what happens is that you could bring something to church and say, you know, Pastor, walk around with this as you preach the word, because I want to take this and put this in my daughter's, under my daughter's pillow or under her bed or whatever, you know, and where she can make contact of this. What are you doing? That's one way of releasing that anointing into that person to be healed. That still happens today. You may not see it happen much today, but it's still. And that's what the one with the issue of blood. Jesus' garment was touching his body. Jesus is anointed. It'd be just like me. I'm anointed. You anointed because you are born of God. And because I got this shirt on, if somebody was around me, I could cut the part of my shirt. And I won't do it, but I can. I can cut part of my shirt or whatever and give it to that person. And that person that's diseased, they could put it in their hand, they could put it in their pants, they could put it. And all of a sudden, the anointing that was on me, that's on me, got in my clothes, it will set the captive free. It will heal the sick. Now, see, some people don't believe that, or some do, but we stop the practice of it. And this, I'm just trying to show you what faith is. Our faith is in God. It's not what we do. We are acting it out. We have to be the one to carry it. We have to be the one to present it. Before God could be honored, before God could be glorified. God can't be honored. He can't be glorified without your and my assistant. That's why we're called Christians. That's why we are believers. And so here, when she touched the fringe of his garment, it says she was healed and she came up behind him. And notice this, immediately her flow of blood ceased. That's what we should believe. See, that's the type of impact that you and I have as the righteousness of God. When someone come to us, don't think it's strange that something marvelous, you ought to be expecting that supernatural vibe will translate from you. You ought to be expecting that when you open your mouth, the captive will go free today, whatever that is. The blind will see, if it's spiritually or physically, it doesn't matter. The cripple will be made whole. They could be crippled in their thoughts, or they could be crippled in their, it will be made whole. That's the attitude that you and I have, because we are functioning from the righteousness of God, and we are the carriers of this gospel called grace. And faith is the only hand to appropriate what grace have made provision for. So if you and I, who are the carrier of this grace, the carrier of this faith to release it, where people can be healed, people can be whole, your financial situation can change, then guess what? People will stay in that captivity. We will all stay captive, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear me speaking the word of God to you, guess what? Faith is increasing for what you are hearing right now. Okay? Watch this. I'm almost done. And notice in verse 45, Jesus said, who is it that touched me? Now, I can milk all these verses of scripture, but time won't let me. I'm going to come back to them later. And notice this. He said, who is it that touched me? And when all were denying it, Peter said unto him, who were with him, Master, the multitude surround you and press upon you on every side. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, meaning in a manner of expecting something, a manner that you're looking to receive something. That's what it means by touch. And that's why everybody hears the word. You talk about the four basic type of people. I talk about the four basic type of ground that Mark 4 talks about, Matthew 13 talks about, and Luke 8 talks about. But only one ground brought forth fruit. They all heard, but only one brought forth fruit to perfection. This woman, she been hearing and hearing and hearing, and all of a sudden, she had enough boldness to rise up on the inside of her, enough belief on the inside. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. I don't care who's there. I know I'm unclean, but this is my, faith has to rise up for you to do something out of the natural, that you have to step beyond the natural. You have to step beyond things that will cause fear, things that will cause death, because you know, if I'm going to be healed, if I'm going to be delivered, this is it. This is it. That woman looked at it in that manner. Are you following me? And she took her chance, knowing she could be stoned. Right there. And notice this. And then in verse 47 says, when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared all in the presence of the people for what reason she had touched him. And notice this. And how she had been instantly cured. Again, I'm going to come back to all of this because there are so many things in here that you need to see. And notice this. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, you're confident, your trust in me. You see, that's what faith is. Your confident, your trust in me has made you well. Go and enter into peace, untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Notice what he told her. Now she have to use her faith also to do an enter into peace. What did that mean? You could be cured of a cancer, of a disease. You could have delivered from poverty and whatnot, and everything is taken care of. And notice this. Even though you've been delivered, even though the bill been paid, there could still be a thought in your mind, what if it come back? What if it come back? What if it happened again? This is why Jesus said, that's why I said, he said, enter into peace. So you have to enter, just like you enter into this word. Are you following what I'm saying? You're going to have to enter into peace. Enter into peace, meaning you know it was the power that was released from me that healed you. Now you're going to have to stay connected to the power that will keep you. Meaning you keep hearing the word. You keep listening to the word. You keep growing in the word, feeding on the word, gaining light through the word. And you could be for sure. It said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed upon thee because they trust in thee. So when you trust him, it can come back. And I know sometimes that's the thing. What if it come back? Jesus said, enter in. So if you've been cured of something, you've been delivered from something, enter into that peace and rest and say, no, what God did for me, what his word said is true. And no evil shall befall me. This plague shall not come back nigh me a second time. Nehemiah 1:9. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All sickness and disease has been turned off from my body. Exodus 23:15. He turned off all sickness, all disease. So it's turned off. He took it away. You have to see that. You have to begin to think in that light. You have to hold fast to it. And then notice this. And while he was still speaking, from the house of the director of the synagogue came, Jairus, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not worry and trouble the teacher any further." But Jesus, on hearing, and answered him, "Do not." Notice who answered. Faith answered. Because the man was already got bad news. Here's something I want you to see, and I got to quit. When you are in faith and you get a negative report, you're going to have to learn to put a guard over your mouth and keep the same thing, hold to the same thing that the word gave to you, the answer the word gave to you, whatever that is. When you have something that's negative, you say what he said. You don't say what you feel. You don't try to respond based on this. Nope, you respond on the same word that he gave. Jesus did what? He left to go with him. And that's why Jesus spoke up. Because he knew that this man was in a frenzy. He knew that this was devastating. I had that happen to me before. Notice this. He said, and Jesus, on hearing this, he said, "Do not be seized, alarmed, struck with fear." Come on now. He said, "Your daughter is dead." And Jesus tell him, "Do not be seized. Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe in me as able to do this, and she shall be made well." Whoa! That's a confident booster. Huh? Notice this. And this, now notice this. You said that's Jesus, but guess what? The spirit and the life of Christ is in us. Now we the hands that lay, we the mouth that speak. Are you understand what I'm saying? That's why you have to humble yourself. That's why you have to stay submitted to the truth of God's word. Because that's where your confidence gonna come from. That's where your strength gonna come from. You're drawing it from him. You're not drawing it from you. You and I were going to fall short all the time. But when you keep your focus on him, what he's saying, you cannot fail. And notice this. And here it says, and when he came into the house, he permitted no one to enter in except Peter, John, and James, and the girl, father and mother, and all that were weeping and bewailing and her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she's not dead, sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. This is another thing. You don't let everybody know when you've gone through a crisis. Now you need somebody that you can talk to. And that reason why you have that someone you can talk to, because they're going to keep you in faith. They're going to keep reminding you what the word said. They're going to keep you focused. Even when you look like you get it unfocused, every time now and then I can become unfocused. My wife helped me to get me back refocused. All of us need that. Amen. That's a true friend. Somebody to do it. To get you back focused. You know what the word says. You're walking in it, but because you got a bit of bad news or because your emotions got the best of you for a moment or whatnot, hey, we're not an island and we're not made of steel. It's God's super touching our natural. Every now and then, your natural going to want to fall short. Your natural going to want to cry. Your natural going to want to quit. Your natural going to want to be in unbelief. But when you grab hold to the word, it puts you back in that supernatural mode. Amen? And notice this. And verse 52, 53. And they laughed him, right? And verse 54, and he grabbed her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise from the sleep of death." That's how you raise the dead. That's one way. Child, arise from the sleep of death. Why? Because my confidence ain't in me. I got confident to believe that if I speak his word and do what he said, he will do the rest. But if I don't speak, if I don't stand, then guess what? He don't have no way of expressing himself but through you and I. And the Bible said that, notice this, the spirit returned from death and she arose immediately and directed that she should be given something to eat. And her parents was amazed and they charged them to tell no one what occurred. Now, there's something significant here about when she was raised from the dead and when she arose immediately, he directed her to give her something to eat. Because there's some, I forgot to understand it. It's more of a medical term. But her spirit came back. If the spirit was to rely in that body, to stay in that body, then all of her, would you say that when your appetite returns, her appetite returned, that means her vital organ was responding, and therefore, in order for the spirit to stay in that body, the flesh itself has to respond in a manner where it give him something to eat. If she can eat, then guess what? Now the spirit will stay in that body because it can now live. Isn't that powerful? Well, look, I love you. I thank God for you. I kind of rushed through that, but I'm going to go back through it again because, again, there's so many nuggets in there. And those nuggets that are in there for you and I to see so that we can understand when we're living by faith that we don't overlook nothing. Amen. But this is Friday, and we'd love for you to participate in our online giving, cash out through the Favor Church. And as the scripture has talked about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, said, "Let him that taught the word communicate unto them that teaches in all good things." So if you believe I communicated to you the word of God, then I'm looking for you to communicate by helping us with our building, helping us with the things that we have to do to take care of it, to keep it. And as you sow your financial seed into the kingdom of God through an anointing that gave you understanding, you're not just giving, just to give, you're giving because the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened. You've been touched. You've been moved by the word of God. You see things in a light that you didn't see. And so therefore, we're asking you to take your seed between you and God and put it there, place it there. And as you sow, what are you doing? You're sowing into an anointing that will continue to increase you, that continue to keep that hunger, that you see more, that you begin to have more of a grit, that you're going to stand on this truth, and that you can never fail by walking in the light of God's word. So if that's you and you love to give into our ministry or whatnot, is cash out the Favor Church. And as again, as you do that, then what you're doing, you're helping us to keep moving forward in the things that we believe God has put in our heart. So as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Remember, at the end of this lesson, you can go back and listen to the podcast on Grace Online or Grace Institute Online Bible School. It will be uploaded in your podcast, whatever your podcast is that you like to listen to, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Google, iHeartRadio, whatever. I learned something, guys. The other day, I think when you do your new download software, and if you have Apple Podcasts, if you have an iPhone, they have a transcript Now, everything that I spoke to you about, not only can you hear the word through your podcast, but the transcript will be there, every word I say. You could use it for your own Bible study, or you could use it to take things out and really meditate upon. I thought that was so cool. I discovered that the other day by accident, and I said, man, wow, this is awesome. So when you get through, if you want to, when I upload this to your to the podcast, especially if you have an iPhone, I don't know, Android probably have the same thing, but I know on the iPhone, you'll be able to look at the transcript of the same thing that I'm teaching you. So we love you. We thank God for you. Again, until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. We love you now. Have a great weekend. God willing, we look forward to next Monday coming to continue what faith is. Amen. Bye-bye, everyone.